title of the message is that Jesus speaks a better word to us in 2019. Can't believe it's 2019 already. Amen. And so let's come to Hebrews chapter 12, this great letter to the Hebrews. The writer is concluding. We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but probably someone who was closely connected to the Apostle Paul. And Hebrews chapter 12, let's read together from verse 18. It says, "For you have not come to that which may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So see to it you do not refuse him who's speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will they escape, will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.' This phrase, 'yet once more,' indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made, in order that things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Amen. And so we want to begin this year really reminding ourselves again of the voice of God coming through the gospel. We're a gospel-centered church. We're a church that loves the gospel. We love preaching the gospel. And remember that the gospel is Jesus and Jesus is the gospel. It's an easy way to remember it. The gospel is Jesus. It's about Jesus and Jesus is the gospel. And may God speak good things to us again this year as we come to the beginning of a new year. His voice is always filtered through the gospel. We're not under the old covenant, as we've just read, but under the new covenant where God speaks to us through his son, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, salvation, when you become a Christian, it begins by God speaking to us. When you're dead in your trespasses and sins, and God begins to speak to you and he awakens you and you begin to see who Jesus is and you put your faith in him, that's how you're saved. It's through God speaking to you. And growth in the Christian life actually depends on God continuing to speak to you. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So it's really about God speaking to us. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. I want to talk to you about hearing God for yourself and for us as a congregation this year. Because we live in a very visual age at the moment with technology and cell phones and iPads. And we live in a very visual age where so much information comes through our eyes. But actually for the Christian, your ears are more important than your eyes. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Can you say amen? And it's through your ears that God can speak to your heart, and you can be changed. And God can do things in your life. Even when we read the Bible, we're using our eyes as we read, but we're really doing that in order that God may speak to us and that we may hear him. That's the purpose of it. And so it's wonderful to be able to read the scriptures and to hear God. And it's a real privilege. The Bible was really written for ordinary people. It wasn't written just for superstars. It wasn't just written for the priests and for specialists. God wants to communicate to all of us. Can you say amen? We're living in a world today where increasingly you need a specialist to help you and you have to pay a specialist. But the Bible is not just for specialists, it's for ordinary people. I went to the bank this week. I had some time off, so I walked into the bank. Another lady bank manager, she helped us sort out a few problems with our tax. And I wished her a happy new year. And I said to her, "Oh, by the way, can you give me some advice on what account I should open if we ever had to save any money? I've never really been in that position before." And so she looked at me and she said, we can't do that. She said, "We can't give you advice." I said, "What do you mean you can't give me advice? You're the bank." She said, "No, no, no, we can just tell you the options, but we can't give you any advice." you need to go and see someone special to give you advice. And so she gave me all the options, which were like about 14 different options. And I need to speak to a specialist to take it further. But isn't it good news that the Bible is not just addressed to specialists? You can read the scriptures and God can speak to you and to me. And that's what he does. And here the writer to the Hebrews is writing to a group of Hebrew Christians, Jewish Christians that were discouraged. They were facing persecution. They were tempted to downgrade Jesus to being just an angel and to continue with their tradition and their culture and to downgrade Jesus. And he says, don't do that, because Jesus is God's final answer. Jesus is God's final word. And in the front of Hebrews, he's writing and he says there that about Jesus. He says, in the past, God spoke through the prophets and in many different ways. He says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Hallelujah. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And so he's telling these writers, what you need for progress in the Christian life, friends, is Jesus plus nothing. You need Jesus plus nothing. You don't need to add things to Jesus. You need to live off Jesus and get to know Jesus and follow Jesus and have faith in Jesus. He is the one. He is heaven's champion. And he's all we want to preach on, because he is God's final word. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I just want to focus in Hebrews 12 on verse 24, where it says Jesus is, in Hebrews 12 verse 24, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Let's just flip back to Genesis chapter 4 together and just read a few verses in Genesis 4 just to get the context of our friend Abel. You remember Cain and Abel, and Cain killed his brother Abel. And it says in Genesis chapter 4, it says, now Adam knew his wife Eve, and they conceived and bore Cain. And he says, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, he bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain a farmer. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought to the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. And so Cain is angry and he goes and he kills his brother. And in verse 10, it says, the Lord said to Cain, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And he deals with Cain because of what had happened. And so I just want to very briefly compare these two people, Abel and Jesus, to help us understand how God speaks to us. Just a few things. I want you to see that God accepted Abel's offering because it involved the death of an animal and the shedding of blood as a substitute. Maybe Abel was copying what God did for Adam and Eve when they sinned and he brought the animal skins and covered them and he covered their sin and he covered their shame. Maybe Abel was learning from that and he brought an animal sacrifice to God and God accepted that animal sacrifice. It's a picture of what Jesus was going to do centuries later as Jesus died to cover our sin with his blood. Hallelujah. The death of Abel was also the first murder that was ever committed in the Bible. Blood was spilt on the ground, and the Bible tells us that that blood cried out to God. Blood has a voice, and it cried out to God and got all the way into heaven. And God came down to see what Cain had done. And the voice of Abel's blood cried out to God on his behalf, and God heard it. And friends, when we compare that to Jesus, years later, the blood of Jesus was also spilt and cried out to God on our behalf. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24 says, Christ entered not into the holy places on earth, but into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Hallelujah. So that's the difference between Abel and Jesus. Abel's blood friends cried out, revenge, revenge. It was a homicide that called for vengeance. But the blood of Jesus has a different cry. It cries mercy, mercy, mercy. Hallelujah. The blood of Abel was a righteous cry. It shouted murder after one sin. It was the murder of a good and innocent man. And Jesus' blood also cries out righteously, but it cries out, forgive, forgive. Jesus' blood cries out forgiveness. Hallelujah. It cost him his life so that we could have life. We now have peace with God. Judgment has passed for us because Jesus was judged. The Bible says that God is the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. So Jesus' blood cries out, forgive. And God can forgive us because Jesus was judged. Hallelujah. God does what no earthly judge could ever do. He'd be struck off the bar. He'd be struck off the roll. He forgives those that are ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. God does that for us, friends. Abel's blood created a barrier between him and Cain, and between God and Cain. Christ's blood removes every barrier and opens up for us a new and living way into the presence of God himself. Can you say amen? The Old Testament temple was full of barriers. There were barriers. Women couldn't go in and Gentiles couldn't go in. Even Jesus, you may not know this, even Jesus couldn't go into the innermost parts of the temple when he was on earth because he was not a Levite. He was not of that tribe. There were barriers. You couldn't go here and you couldn't receive that and you couldn't do this. And there were special days and rituals and ceremonies and laws. But when Christ came, hallelujah, he removed every barrier so that we can all go into the presence of God. Abel's blood has fallen silent now because Cain was judged. But the blood of Christ is not silent. It still speaks to us today. It speaks to God for sinners and it says, Father, forgive them for I've paid the price. And it speaks to us from God and it says to us, you are forgiven, you are cleansed, you are adopted into God's family. Hallelujah. Spurgeon said, blood mysteriously connects things physical to things spiritual. It connects the two together. God attaches huge importance to the shedding of blood, the atonement. Leviticus 17 verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. It's the blood of Jesus that covers us and atones for our sins. Hallelujah. And so friends, as we look at these two pictures of Abel and Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus speaks a far better word to us than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. We live under Jesus. We live under the new covenant. The blood of Jesus is the final word of God to us. It is the supreme voice of the new covenant. Hallelujah. And so we love to hear God's voice, and it's wrapped up in the gospel and it's wrapped up in the blood of Jesus. So my second point is this. Let's keep listening to the blood of Jesus. Let's keep close to the gospel. It's the cry of the gospel. It has a voice and it's still speaking to us. God is speaking to us through his word. God is speaking to us through this pulpit. God is speaking to us by his Holy Spirit. It says that in verse 25. It says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Hallelujah. It's such a privilege to have God speak to us. And as we stand on the threshold of a new year, let's pray God speaks to us again and again and again this year through his gospel. Hallelujah. And God has got, as Benson said already, God has got good things to say to us this year. Can you say amen? God has got good things to, he speaks a better word than Abel. He speaks a better word than the voice that shook Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. The old covenant was outward. It was physical. It was about trumpets and smoke and burning and shaking mountains and a physical Jerusalem. And the people were afraid. Even Moses says, I'm trembling with fear. They said, Lord, please don't speak any more to us. We're too scared. It spoke about the holiness and the terror and the unapproachability of God. God says, if even an animal touches the mountain, it will be killed. And this is the God, just show God's holiness and who He is. But the New Testament is different. God has not changed, but everything is filtered by the gospel. Hallelujah. The fire of God still surrounds His throne. It says there in Hebrews, it says, for our God is a consuming fire. It's just that we shield it by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We shield it by the blood of Jesus. That's the difference. I was reading on BBC News during the holidays. The Russians have got a new rocket now. It seems like the arms race is happening all over again. And they've got this rocket that they send 6,000 miles. And apparently it's going 20 times the speed of light. And they said the reason it can go so fast and is because it's made of new material that protects it from burning up at that speed. It's shielded. It's protected. Friends, we're protected from God's holiness because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And go right into God's presence because of what Jesus has done for us. And the gospel works through love and assurance, not fear. It's inward, it's spiritual, it's of the heart. It's not outward, it's not physical. It's not about holy mountains and a physical Jerusalem and a holy nation. It's about access to God by the Spirit through the blood of Jesus. And God has not given us a spirit of fear this year. But He's given us a spirit of faith. That we may receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. We're living in a world today where everything is being shaken. But we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken in the midst of great global shaking. And so as I close this morning, my word to us this morning at the beginning of this year is let's hear God speaking to us this year. Ask God to help you and help me in our ability to hear His voice speaking to us this year. Around us, there may be shaking going on, but make sure God speaks to you in your heart as you step into this year. It's really the secret of survival, that we may continue to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. We may receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's really the secret of the Christian life, to make time to just hear God, to quieten your heart, to let Him speak to you in the midst of political, economic, environmental shaking around us. So we come to God. We still our hearts. We let Him speak to us. We hear His voice. We hear His word. We have the Holy Spirit as our counselor, as our comforter, to teach us, to remind us. We make time to hear Him. I would encourage you, if you haven't done that already, make time to just spend time with the Lord at the beginning of this year. Say, Lord, won't you speak to me for this year? What are some of the things you have for me and my family this year? For my business, for what lies ahead this year, ask God to speak to you. And it always will be good news. It won't be fake news. God will speak to you good news. He'll speak to you. He'll guide you. He'll speak a better word than the blood of Abel. He'll speak good things through the gospel. And all around us there's shaking. God will speak to us and settle us and talk to us. When I was in the Navy, one of the things I struggled with, I was on a ship for 3 years, just over 3 years. I got so seasick. I think many of you know that. And the ships we had were built for the Mediterranean, and our seas are quite rough here, particularly through the Transkei and the Wild Coast. And I used to get seasick constantly. And we had a guy on board our ship, and when you were on duty, and sometimes they used to put a bucket next to you because you couldn't leave your post, just to make sure. And we had a guy that was on board with us, and he could eat anything through any sea state. And he would eat cake and he would eat fruit and he would eat hot dogs and he would drink Coke. And you just looked at him and you felt, and he had a stomach that was stable in the midst of the most unstable sea. I never forgot him. I was so jealous of him. Because as soon as I finished, I lay down on the deck until we got to Cape Town or Durban or Walvis Bay, wherever we were going, Namibia, wherever we were going. But he had a stomach that was stable in the midst of unstable seas. And friends, we need to be like that this year. We need to live off God's word. Live off the gospel. Let God speak to us over and over again. Hallelujah. Through his word and by his spirit. We're living off the voice of God. We're letting God speak to us. Jesus speaks a better word to us this year. He's got good things for us. He's got good things for you because of the gospel. Hallelujah. We don't come in fear and trembling. We come in grace. We come with assurance. We say, Father, speak to us. Jesus, speak to us. As we stand at the threshold of a new year, today, if you hear his voice, keep your heart open to him. Keep coming back to Jesus. Keep coming back to God. I saw Bruce and Nikki Skay a few days ago. We had supper with them. They were part of this church. They're in Australia. And it's a challenge over there. And she's in a school. And I said to her, Nikki, do you get a chance to still prophesy? She had a gift of prophecy. She says, well, I'm using it in the class a bit. So I said, well, tell me, how does that work? She said, well, the other day, we had a young girl who died at the school. I thought, sure, that's pretty hectic. And she said, we all gathered around her and we started praying for her. She had some kind of heart attack and we were praying and praying. And she said, while we were praying for her, I just felt God speak to her. She said, you know, the girl's name was Tabitha. I said, oh, she said, and the words just came to me, Tabitha, arise. And she said, I just shouted at this girl. You know, Nikki, she's very audentlic. And she shouted at the girl and she said, Tabitha, arise. And she had all these pupils around her and they were praying for her at the school. And she said, and I just shouted at her first time because God had spoken to me. And she said, I spoke to this girl. And as I spoke to her, she said, suddenly she coughed and she sat up. And she said, we all got excited. She said, but then she died again. And she said, and then I shouted at her again and she came back again. And I said, phew, that's great. And she said, then the paramedics arrived and she said, she was taken away and she said, she's 100% perfect at the moment. And I thought, wow. So she's still using her gift. And so, yes, it comes from reading the Bible, but in the workplace and in the family and as you're driving it in your car, be open to the voice of God speaking to you good things this year. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. And he's got good things to say. And we're a church that believes God speaks to you through the Bible, but he also speaks to you by the Holy Spirit in your heart. We want to be open to both. People of word and spirit. Hallelujah. We want to do both. We want to be open to the word and in the word. And often your reading of the word, your love of the word will be a barometer of your spiritual health. The closer you are to Jesus, the more you will love his word. And I encourage you this year to dive into the word of God. Don't just take a nip and a sip. But give yourself to God's word. Read his word. Say, Lord, I need you to speak to me. We're living in days today where there's so much instability, where we need that anchor for our souls. We need to have God's word speaking to us and holding us and gripping us and encouraging us. Hallelujah. Jack Deere says, I'll close with this quote. He says, somewhere along the way, the church has encouraged a silent divorce between the word and the spirit. It's a great little article. Divorces are painful, both for children and parents. I know my parents were divorced. One parent usually gets custody of the children and the other one only gets to visit occasionally. It breaks the heart of the parents and the children are usually worse off because of it. Many in the church today are content to live with only one parent. They live with the word and the spirit has only limited visiting rights. This is great. He just wants to see and touch the kids once in a while. Some of his kids don't even recognize him anymore. Some have become afraid of him. Others in the church live in the spirit and only allow the word occasional visits. But the Spirit doesn't want to see the kids growing up without the Word. He can see how unruly they're becoming without the Word. So the church can become like a divided family growing up with separate parents. One set of parents are pleased or proud of their education, and the other set of parents are proud of their freedom. But God wants us to have both, to grow up with the Spirit and the Word, and to let God speak to us through the Word and by His Spirit, everything filtered through the gospel, filtered through what Jesus has done. And so as we, friends, as we come to a new year this year, let's focus on Jesus and what He's done for us. Let's be thankful to God. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We're part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything else around us will shake and 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 shake until only one thing will remain. And that will be the kingdom of God. Because it cannot be shaken. We're part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken because it's got foundations that are not part of this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says, let us be thankful. Let us allow God to continue to speak to us. Not allow, but let us be open to God speaking to us. If you hear His voice. Some Christians don't hear God's voice. That's why the writer says, if you hear His voice, say to God, this year I want to hear Your voice. I want You to speak to me, Lord. It's not hard to hear God's voice. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. Just, you need to make time. You need to open your heart. You need to make time in His presence. And it's filtered through the gospel, through what Jesus has done for us. I would encourage you even today, ask God to speak to you. Ask God to drop some things into your heart for this year and your family. Let Him speak to you. And so that's my word to us as we kick off this year. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. We've not come to a mountain that's smoking, to fear, to the voice of God that was terrifying. We've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. We've come to the new covenant. We've come to the blood of Jesus that washes us clean. Hallelujah. It shields us and enables us to come right into God's presence. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.